Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. And I'm very happy today to be starting a brand new series. And this series is entitled The Christian's Spiritual Life. And it has to do with the fact that all of us, as born-again Christians, are called to lead. And we have different arenas in which we lead. Some are called to full-time ministry, but all of us are called to the ministry of reconciliation, restoring people back into a relationship with our God. And so let's begin, and I want to begin with Ecclesiastes 4:12, which states that a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And so we're going to be studying the interrelationship, if you will, between the Word of God, the leading of the Holy Spirit, and of course, faith. Now, as we go forward in this discussion about faith in particular, I want to make clear that there's a difference between confidence and faith. Many times in the Bible, we interchange those two words, and they're really two different, in the Greek, the original text of the New Testament, they're actually two different Greek words, and we'll get to that in a second. But here's the thing that we need to comprehend, or we need to grab a hold of. Number one is that when we talk about confidence, we're really talking about something that is natural, something that is human, something that we develop in our life. On the other hand, faith is supernatural because it is spiritual. Now again, we need to be careful that we don't confuse the two words together. Confidence is natural. Faith is spiritual. But when you put confidence and faith together, now you have a spiritual leader. Now, I want to take a look at the word faith now. Now, as I said a moment ago, faith is spiritual. Now, we know that because of Hebrews 11:1. And Hebrews 11:1 says very clearly, "Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." By that definition, it's clear that faith doesn't have to do with the natural realm, but it deals with the supernatural realm. I like to look at it this way, that God is moved by faith. As a matter of fact, in Hebrews 11:6, it says that it is impossible to please God without faith. Those that come to him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so we diligently seek him by diligently seeking the spiritual side, the spiritual nature of God. Now again, Hebrews 11:1 defines faith. I said it a moment ago. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. What are the things that we hope for? Those things which he's told us in his word through the scriptures. But faith is also the evidence of things not seen. The only thing that is not seen is the spiritual realm. Amen? So I hope you can agree with that. Now, the word faith comes from the Greek word pistis. That's P-I-S-T-I-S. Now, when we use the word faith from the Bible, we're talking about faith in God. We're talking about a moral conviction or a belief in a religious truth or just generally the truthfulness of God. When we talk about salvation, of course, we know that salvation is by faith. We believe, and therefore it is. And so when we look at that in comparison to the word confidence, well, confidence is natural, and confidence sort of looks to it itself. It's something that is built up through experience. Now, in the Bible, the Greek word for confidence is paresia. And when you look at the definition, it means to be outspoken, to be blunt, to have assurance. I think the best word that describes confidence is boldness. So faith is a statement of faith, I mean, a statement of belief, but boldness comes when we believe in where we have our faith. And of course, our faith is in Jesus Christ, in him alone. Now, when a person displays confidence as a result of faith, you have a potential leader. You see, well, that leader understands that he or she is a spiritual leader, and as a spiritual leader, that he or she has come, and this is important, to serve and not be served. See, in God's economy, leadership has to do with serving. Now, all Christians are called to lead. The Great Commission makes it clear that all of us are called to make the gospel known. Now, not everyone is called to the fivefold ministry of the prophet, the apostle, the evangelist, pastor, or teacher. But we are all called to lead others in our family, to lead people in our neighborhoods, to lead people in our workplace, to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So, in that respect, we're all called to lead. Now, as I said a moment ago, God is moved by faith. That's Hebrews 11:6. But people are moved by confidence. You see, a person may be a man or woman of faith and still not be confident. And this is because they know the truth, but they're unwilling to act upon that truth. They hide in the closet, so to speak. On the other hand, a person may be a man or woman of faith who will boldly, that's confidently, be a doer of the word. Now, I want to ask you a question. Who will people follow? Of course, they will follow a person of faith and confidence or boldness. As I said earlier, and this is an important concept to grab a hold of, is that faith moves God, but confidence or boldness moves the people that are around us. Now, as mature Christians, we're all called to walk confidently or in boldness in our faith. The natural confidence aligning with the supernatural faith. In other words, when faith and confidence become one. Now, I think a good illustration of this progression in building confidence is found in 1 Samuel 17. And I encourage you to read that story again. Of course, this is the story about David and Goliath. And we know that, this is a very early in David's life. He's just a young man here. And he didn't just appear on the battlefront, on the battleground, to confront Goliath the Philistine. Remember, he at this particular point in David's life, he was simply a shepherd boy. And whereas Goliath was a man of war from his youth. But if we examine carefully the scriptures, what we see is that David had a history of finding God faithful. And because God was faithful, it ultimately led David to a very public victory. So what am I saying? What I'm saying is that before every public victory, there must be a series of private victories. Now remember David, the simple shepherd boy? You know, how was he able to defeat Goliath, a warrior from his youth? It started with David's personal relationship with God. It is said of David that then one of the servants answered and said, "Look, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a handsome person. And the Lord is with him." See, that's so key. "And the Lord is with him." That was 1 Samuel 16:18. Now, we follow that by the faith-building episodes. Remember when David defeated the lion, and then he defeated the bear while he was protecting his father's sheep? That's 1 Samuel 17, verses 34 through 37. Now, what's important to understand here is that David, being a shepherd boy, would be off in the wilderness by himself guarding his father's sheep. You see, no one was looking. But yet, even when no one was looking, he was faithful to what his father had given him the responsibility for. And it was in those times that David developed the deep, abiding relationship with Jehovah God. Now, finally, comes confidence to defeat the giant Goliath. Remember, Goliath was a warrior from his youth. And because of the private victories, because of the faithfulness when no one was looking, this resulted in the total defeat of Goliath, which in turn inspired the armies of Israel to defeat the Philistine army. That's 1 Samuel 17, verses 45 through 54. You see, David did not waver or doubt. His confidence was in God. And when the army of Israel saw that confidence, saw that faith in action, they responded with faith as well. You see, David allowed God to prepare him in the private times for the great public battle with Goliath. David's confidence started when he decided to pursue his relationship with God. Leaders, no matter what kind of leader you are, don't neglect your personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, because it is the cornerstone of your life and of your ministry. Hebrews 10, verses 35-36 says the following: "Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." As a leader, you have a great responsibility, because you're responsible to effectively lead those whom you've been, that those individuals that have been given to you the responsibility to lead. You know, whether it's leading in the family, whether it's leading in the workplace, whether it's leading in the neighborhood, whether it's leading in the church. In a very true sense, the destinies of those that you are leading are in your hands. Therefore, the leader's responsibility should never, never, never be taken lightly. As a ministry leader, we have responsibility to those we lead. But we even have a greater responsibility to the one who has called us into the ministry. Again, whether it's local ministry or church ministry or world ministry. And of course, the one who has called us is God the Father. Think of the responsibility of leadership in this way. The body of Christian believers is often referred to as the body of Christ. We are given the stewardship or the responsibility to care for the bride of Christ, the church. Now, how great a responsibility we have, because Jesus will one day return for his bride, the church. And our hope that in that day, he will say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And he will say that when we take seriously the responsibility that we've been given. The responsibility to lead by faith, but also to lead boldly or with confidence, that responsibility which he has given us. So the question for us is, how do we mature to become effective leaders to whom such a great trust is given? Well, to be effective requires that we become confident in three areas. And it's got to be in this order. We first have to have confidence in our relationship with God, the Holy Spirit living within us. Secondly, then we must have confidence in our calling, whether it's to fivefold ministry or other forms of ministry. We've all been called to present the gospel, to preach, to make Jesus known. And thirdly, we have to have confidence in that area in which we have been called. It's really very simple. You see, it's understood that each one of these three areas are spiritual in nature. And that's how we have to look at these areas. Whether we're talking about the relationship, the calling, or confidence in a ministry, it's spiritual. It's always spiritual in nature. We're clothed in a shell of flesh and blood, but we have to learn how to see, how to hear, how to understand the spiritual realm in which God lives. For God is spirit, and It is from His Spirit that His enabling power is able to flow through us. See, it's not about us. It's about Him working through us. You see, He's faithful. Now, there's a major difference between a spiritual leader, such as a pastor or a Bible study teacher or a children's minister, compared to a leader who's in business, education, or politics. And the difference is the calling. You see, the pastor's calling or the ministry calling is not of man, nor should it be a personal ambition. It is of God. You see, what God has called you to is not a job or profession, but what God calls it is a calling. It is a spiritual calling. How can we best define a calling? The calling is an invitation from God to be a man or woman who will co-labor with Him in the fulfillment of His purpose and His plan. You see, we're working with Him. We're not working for Him. We're working with Him. And along with this call comes an enablement or an equipping, or some will call it an anointing. You see, when we line up with Him, the anointing is there. God never fails to equip those He calls. Paul the Apostle tells us in 1 Timothy 1:12, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." And so I want to close with that thought and that idea that the call is not based upon our talents or our abilities or our gifts. It is based on the potential that God sees in us. And that potential is wrapped around faithfulness. The particular faithfulness here is not, our faithfulness should not be simply to a denomination or an organization or an individual. But our faithfulness must be towards God and His call upon your life. No matter how great it is or no matter how small it is all important in the eyes of God. We can be faithful because God is always faithful to us. It tells us that in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, "He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it." God bless you. And we're going to continue on with this concept or this series known as the Christian spiritual life. And so I look forward to seeing you the next time. And again, God bless you as you think and meditate upon the things that I've shared with you today.